Hello, friends. Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Podcast. You can go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to get more information on how you can get even better connected. Have a good and beautiful day. Enjoy.
All right. Well, today, our message is, it's our message, not my message, it's our message. We're doing this collectively. Our message is Surprisingly Cold is the title, because it is surprisingly cold outside. And next week, Nita Davis is going to be talking, and she's going to be sharing her story. Yeah, if you don't know Vernita Jane, she is great. And so I thought, today, I want to talk about cold, because I don't know if I'm alone in this, but life is hard when it's cold. It's a little bit harder. And I know people like my friend Adam, who he makes life amazing and fun in the cold because he does stuff. And every year, I'm like, this is the year I'm going to do stuff. And every year, it's the year that I'm saying, next year, I'm going to do stuff. But life can be hard when it's cold. So I thought, if we're going to talk about cold, clearly we need to talk about nightclubs. So one of my most favorite nights of my life was when I got married and all my kids were born. After that, one of my favorite nights is Nikki and I went down with our friends Nick and Anna and my brother and my sister-in-law. We went down to the cities and we went to this restaurant called Hot Dish. But it was H-A-U-T-E. So I was like super hip with it in a while, and clearly witty, and I love real Hot Dish. Anyone else a Hot Dish fan? All right, just three of us. All right, that's it. We'll get together and eat tater tots. So had sweetbreads for the first time, had an amazing meal, and then we Ubered there. And I, if you don't know me, I love being efficient, but my wife calls it cheap. So I did not want to have to Uber back. And so I'm like, let's just walk. It's like maybe in my head, it was like a half a block. Like you could step outside and there's our hotel. In reality, it was a lot of half blocks. And it was a night where it was like negative 20 or something like that. It was freezing. I know, I'm a horrible person. So, and so we start walking and they're wearing dresses and we're not like wearing like layers and layers and layers of clothes, right? And so we get, I don't know how long, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and it's 11, probably more like 11:30, and we're like, we have to warm up. And a lot of places are closed, and so we see this, what we thought was like a restaurant bar called Aqua. I'm like, let's go. Do you guys know what Aqua is? Is this a thing? Oh, so that's what makes the story so great. We have no idea. So we just walk up, and there's a guy in front of the door, and he's like, it's $5 to get in, and again, efficient. I'm like, hey, these ladies are cold. I'm playing on it hard, all right? I'm like heavy. I'm like, these ladies are cold. We just want to stand in the door and warm up. And he's like, he looked at me. He looked at them. Clearly, he felt sorry for them. And he goes, yes, just go in. So we walk in, and I'm expecting it like, you know, a couple people sitting around the bar, some people at a table crying, you know, like something like that. And we walk in, and it is a full-out club, all right? Now, I know that I look really cool, so you'd think Chris is always at clubs. I'm not, all right? I'm not. And I walk in, and it's packed. It is packed with people a lot younger than us, but there's no one on the dance floor. It's like there was some sort of like someone just threw up everyone on the dance floor, and everyone knew it except me, because no, people are like, we're not walking out there. You saw what Jerry did. Yeah, let's get out of here. So it's packed like it's like a court at an NBA game, and you can't go on it or you get in trouble. I don't know how clubs work. Clearly, you wait to dance until like 7 in the morning, and you just stand with your friends acting cool. And so the music is loud. And I love, also, I'm efficient, but I love to dance. Nick and I both love to dance. I don't know if you define us as good dancers. We think we're good. Like, our bodies move in all the right ways, but people don't appreciate how good of dancers we are. We just danced on Friday night. with our friends too. But we're really good dancers. And I don't know the rules because I don't know club life. And we just go out and start dancing and we're having the time of our life. And eventually, like an hour later, people decided to join us. So we didn't look as weird out. I think it was just a series of people feeling sorry for us. So, but here's the thing. I did not go out that night to go ending up at a club. I did not go out that night trying to go dance for hours and have the time of my life. I literally just wanted to warm up. And if I wasn't open to the idea that there could be something more to Aqua than just some tired bar, right? I would have missed out on the time of my life. And this is all over the Bible. Of people going one direction, thinking this is the only way it can be, this is how life is, this is how spirituality works, this is how God works, and out of nowhere, Aqua Nightclub shows up, and there is this bigger God, there's this bigger story, there's this bigger narrative, and where people can experience the time of their life. And that's what I want to talk about. And clearly those two go together with cold and nightclub. And we're going to be reading the story in Genesis 14 of Melchizedek, yes. I think I'm saying that very wrong, inappropriately. So, anyways, starting Genesis 14. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And I love this story, because this story doesn't make sense. Like, I selectively, to make my message sound better, I just selected the part that makes sense, but nothing in the story makes sense. And the reason I like it, because it's messy and it's wild, is because this is the Bible. The Bible is a complicated, messy, surprisingly awkward book. And I love it because that's real life. And we will go to the Bible often. We'll go to the Bible and think, oh, this is going to be a cute story. This is going to be a nice story. It's going to be an easy story. And the Bible is incredibly, incredibly awkward and complicated and beautiful and life-giving. And it reflects real life. And the reason this reflects real life is because Abram, who becomes Abraham, just came back from a battle. Here's how it happens. Genesis 12, God, Abraham, and God says, hey, you're going to be a blessing to all the tribes, everyone in the world. We talked about this last week. They're going to get in on this beautiful God thing. I'm going to use you and your descendants. Then it goes to this battle, five kings versus four kings. And the five kings go to the four kings, and they say, hey, we want all your stuff, and we want all your women. And so we're going to take them. And the four kings say, no, you're not. And so then they battle, and they win. The people who wanted the stuff, they win. And the kings come back and they're sad and they're like, what are we going to do? Well, Abraham is fine with all this until he finds out that his son or his nephew Lot got kidnapped. And that's when Abraham got angry. Not all those people got killed. Not all the women got stolen and abducted. It was his nephew. And all of a sudden he's like, not today, Satan. Right? So, and he calls up the kings and he says, I have a particular set of skills. Anyone? All right? So then we, yeah, okay. That was in my notes, and I wrote it, and I laughed when I wrote it. And so he gets a group of people together, and it's like 318, I'm pretty sure it was, and it says trained men, or trained like slaves, right? He gets 318, and they go out against these kings. What the other kings couldn't do, Abraham suddenly can just like circle the camp and win, and he takes back all the women and all the stuff and his nephew. Now pause. It's really important when you're reading the Bible when the author clearly has a point to make, right? He has a point to make. And when something that four or five kings couldn't do, but one man with some hired help can do, they're trying to really pump it up around here. They're really trying to say, look, oh, clearly Abraham is the most amazing person, right? And they make it sound that part clean and easy. So he gets back, he goes back to the Valley of the Kings, and that's where he's going to meet up with the other kings to give back the women and all the stuff. And he already has his nephew, so he's okay. While he's waiting there, this happens, right? Melchizedek happens. And it doesn't make sense because it says that he is a king and a priest. And of Salem, and we've never heard of this king before. We never heard of this land before, and he's a priest. The reason this doesn't make sense is because he's a priest of what? Before this, there is no like seminary. There is no like you can go online and get like a fake degree for $25 and tell all your friends like, no, really, I have my PhD. There is no like internship program. There is no like 12-week we'll lay hands on you and call you something. There's nothing. Out of nowhere, there's a priest. And the author recognizes clearly this person is a priest and a king from somewhere else and from the God Most High. And he shows up to bless Abraham, someone else, outsider. Oh, and his name means righteousness. He is the king and the priest of righteousness, that this king brings and makes things right. What this king has to offer is something right. So this is an outsider, and he shows up, and there's several things that could have happened here. Abraham could have said, hold on, king of righteousness. You're bringing me a blessing. There's one guy who's bringing the blessing. Me, I'm the blesser. The big guy upstairs told me just two chapters ago, clearly you're not following the story. He said, we are going to be the blessing. Now someone else from a different tribe, from a different priesthood, from a different something we've never heard of, shows up to bless. And Abraham says, yes. Something wild, something different shows up. And Abraham doesn't see it as a threat. He sits down, he eats the bread, he drinks the wine, and he receives the blessing from something else, from somewhere else. And the reason I like this story is because we like to think this is how the world works. This is how my job works. This is how our family works. This is how our partnership works. This is how pleasure works. This is how outside works. And we can put things in nice categories and nice little words to define of, okay, this is how we're literally neighbors. This is what neighbors work, right? Don't look me in the eyes. Don't comment on cutting my grass wrong, right? That's what we established. Thank you. So, right? We can make things into big categories and say, this is how it is. And we like that because then we know how to operate. We know how to show up. We know how to move. When you say, okay, this is what I deem holy, and this is what I deem unholy, and we make it black and white, then you can move and behave and know that you are on the winning side, that you're on the safe side, that you're going to get the blessing. And anyone who crosses that line, you can look at and you can judge, or you can spite, or you can ignore, or you can mock, however you want to move in your judgment. And that makes the world easy. That makes parenting easy, right? If you say, this is the right way to parent, and we only have organic food until the kids go to bed, then we eat Cheetos, all right? Right? When you have those set fit categories, it does make life easy. But here's what you miss out on. You miss the Aqua nightclub moment. Because if you keep your hand, my wife is laughing at me. That was a PowerPoint there, honey. But when you keep your eyes down, when you keep your eyes down and focus and saying, well, this is all it can be, then you miss out on this wild God. And Jesus says in John 5, Jesus says, my Father is always at work, and to this day, I too am working. And what Jesus is saying, he's saying that this God is on the move. This God is always working. In every breath, the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand, it's Jesus literally saying it's already within. It is here, and you can be present with it if you're willing to see it, if you're willing to roll with it, if you're willing to take it in. And there's this beautiful tradition. And if you want to read a great book, it's called The Christ of the Celtics. And it is wonderful. And in there, he shares a story in their tradition of how at the Last Supper, when John leans into Jesus. And when you think about the Last Supper, we usually think of sitting like this, right? Of how you guys are sitting. You sit like this, and they're sitting at the table, and they're all on the same side of the table, and they're looking at each other like, this is so great. We're having a great meal, right? But how they were actually sitting, I tried doing this because I'm not going to lay down. But I'm like, imagine I was laying on the ground and you're like leaning into the table like you're a beauty model, like hubba hubba, right? So this is how they'd be like leaning into the table, and Jesus would be here and John would be here. And it says that John wanted to whisper into Jesus' ear, right? And so John would have had to lay up against Jesus' chest and lean in to whisper. So there'd be this closeness. There'd be this very intimate, vulnerable moment. And in this tradition, they talk about how John wanted to hear the heartbeat of God. And when I read that, it felt so right that there is the heartbeat of God that is all around us. It's in us. It is right in front of you. And it is easy to miss out on that heartbeat. It's easy to miss out on that tune because we think, this is how God works. This is how life works. This is how what being a woman works. This is what being a man works. And it's everywhere. And this is what happens when it's cold. And I'm speaking to those of us who maybe life is harder in the winter. Maybe you deal with seasonal depression. Maybe you deal with depression or anxiety, or you have some sort of mental illness, or it's just hard. Because we think, because it's cold, we think, oh, I'll move when it's warm. Oh, not move. We say that too. I'm out of here. No, like I will move my body, right? In the summer. I'll be happy in the summer. I'll have rest in the summer. I'll make sure that I go be with my friends or be with my neighbors or I'll go to the gym. We always project it somewhere else and we think, well, I can't enjoy being outside because it's cold. I can't enjoy work because it's hard. I can't enjoy being with my kids or being with my animals because it's cold. And so we let that define us. We let that dictate us. We let that feel like a weight on us. And it's true. It is hard. But there's still this God. There's still this kingdom. There's still this heartbeat that's beating. Even in the depression, even in the hardness, there's still a table of blessing. And the blessing in that, in it being hard, in it being cold, we can use a cheap version of blessing, right? Like, oh, just trust the Lord, let God, and you'll be happy all the time, right? That is a cheap version of love and of blessing. Because the blessing isn't, hey, you're going to want to go from sleeping 15 hours, all of a sudden you're going to want, all I want to sleep is 8 hours. Instead of just feeling like having that, if you have anxiety, you have like that wheel that spins that tells you you should be better, you should be better, you should be better, you should do more, you should do more, right? If there's anyone out here, it doesn't mean that just turns off. The blessing that God's inviting you to be at that table is that you are already good. You are already good. You are already loved. And you can, it's like at the table, there can be this mirror of saying, you truly are good and beautiful. You truly are worth it. And not just in the summer, not just when the anxiety goes away, not just when you feel whatever you healthy or better. It's like right now, you're worth it. And there's that table. So here's two things. Then we will wrap up. First thing is this, be willing to be surprised by this God. Be willing to like look for ways where God could show up. It might be in the moon. It might be in the walk from the car to your work building. It might be in a song. It might be in a meal. It might be in a casserole. No, hot dish. I talk about hot dish, right? It might be dancing at a nightclub. It might be dancing at a friend's house. But if you are willing to be surprised, if you're willing to see this God, that this God could break in and bring that blessing, bring that beauty, it's worth it. It doesn't, I mean, I shouldn't say, theologically, it technically could happen every second and just be like, yes, yes, God, woo, this is awesome, right? That has not worked out for me that way. It might be once a week, it might be once a month, it might be once a decade, but when that happens, when you're there, when you're at that table, that's heaven. That's when you can experience that beauty and that mystery of the kingdom of God, but you have to be willing to see it. And the way that I see it is I'm trying to keep an open mind. I'm trying to be aware of my body, of my breath, of how I show up in a room. I can show up really awkward. I can show up overly confident, but I want to show up as I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to be surprised. Second thing is this, is have a pop-up shop. Right? I love pop-up shops. Places that don't have an established building, don't have a set place, out of nowhere, tin cup design is just, boom, it's in your chiropractor's office, and it's wonderful, all right? It's so great. That's Jordan Sundberg's design art thing. I don't know where he got it. I nailed it. She's like, oh, business, go through the roof. Thank you, Chris, all right? Right? But you can have a pop-up shop where just you're somewhere and they decide, this is where I want to reveal my art. This is where I want to sell my stuff. And I love those, right? Because it's on the move. It's fluid. It's going to be wherever the people are. It's going to be there. We can do the same thing. That we can, this wild God can have these tables from outside, something different, non-traditional, and it can surprise us. We can learn and we can receive. We too can bring a table. You can be a blessing to the people around you. You could be a blessing to someone different, to an outsider, to an insider, to a neighbor. And that could be a text message. I got a text from one of my buddies, and we were texting about something here about the space. Yeah, it was about something that didn't go right in the space. And I was being fairly critical, to be quite honest, because he was overseeing it. And I'm like, this has to, production's got to go up and expenses got to go down now, right? Something like that, something very bossy. And at the end of it, he said, hey, Chris, I'm really glad we're friends. Thank you for being such a good guy. And now that I'm saying it out loud, he might have been sarcastic. That's not his personality. That's not his personality at all. Regardless, it was. I took it as like, oh, that feels really good. I do. And again, in my head, everything's always sunny and happy. So, and everyone's a big fan of me too. So, but it really, in those moments, like when he texted to me, I felt noticed and I felt loved. In that space, I'm like, wow, I love me. And I love that I have friends that are willing to do that. So it could be as simple as sharing what you really feel in a positive way, right? Like, I'll show them, I'll send this message. It could be inviting them to go see that moon with you. It could be inviting them to a movie. It might be inviting them to come to this space and say, hey, you can come be with me. When we can be a blessing to other people, that's where the kingdom lives. So, to my friends, there is a good and beautiful God, and there is this awesome, weird, aqua dance club moments if we're willing to step into it. Let's stand, let's pray. So God, we love you. I thank you that you are not in some fixed arena or this pre-written script, but you are this wild, beautiful God. And I thank you that we can be surprised by these tables of blessing. So I pray for my friends who are dealing with a heaviness, anxiety or depression, who are just in a funk. I ask God that you would help us be able to see that there is a table, there is this God, and you're inviting us, even in the cold, even in the season, you're inviting us to sit and to dine. I pray that throughout this day, throughout this week, that we can move and that we'd be willing to see, we'd have our minds, our bodies, our hearts open, that there could be something more. There can be something more than how I define this relationship. There can be something more how I define how I experience God, and that we'd be able to take it in. And I pray that you'd use us. And we all have a different table. We all have different ways of how we see the world and how we see the place around us. I pray you would use that skill, use that art, use that meal, use that laugh as a way to bring life to other people. So we love you, God. Amen.